You're listening to the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast, your new home for inspiration, family, sports conversations, and a lot of other stuff. We're your all-purpose pod for an all-purpose life and your weekly mirror check before you go change the world, baby. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the all-purpose pod for an all-purpose life, wherever you are and however you're hearing, they call me Mr. You, the podcast. Thank you again for making us a part of your morning, your day, and your week with your weekly mirror check before you change the world, baby. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and of course, the Twitter. Please download, like, share, and subscribe to our show. Wherever you enjoy your podcast, we're also on YouTube every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays. Love to hear your thoughts on our show, the topics, the themes, and any questions you may have for us. Please, by all means, shoot them over to us. And if you're listening on audio only, of course, you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, however you hear your podcast. And if it's just video and audio, you can find us on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook as well. So hope you enjoy the show thus far. We're going into our fourth season, so we're pretty excited about that. I want to come before you today and kind of just share some thoughts. Have you ever been in a spot where you can see something externally going on that annoys you, that gets on your nerves, but it could be happening in your own life and you barely notice it? That's just an honesty question, just being transparent, because I think that this may not be that, but there's so many options that we have to have a reason to be offended. To see things in other people that we don't want to or we can't discern in our own selves. It's kind of a weird thing. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, it talks about how can you look in a speck in your brother's eye, the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, the Bible says, but not see the plank, the whole plank of wood in your own eye. It's really easy to point fingers and look at what other people are doing and not doing and miss our own personal responsibilities in specific areas. It doesn't have anything to do with ministry only. It can be in the business, where I saw it when I was in an employee and an employer mode. I see it in both places. It's easy to point fingers and just neglect the fact that we haven't fully done our job. We haven't met all of our obligations. It's really weird to me per se, because I think about what that looks like in the term of work and service. And I'm in a place in multiple areas of my life where I am in a mode of service. I volunteer in certain areas. I work in a certain role with certain organizations. I serve in family dynamic in my home, whether I be a caretaker or a manager or administrator. I work in different areas throughout my life. Even in my own business, I have there's a service component, even in my business, on how we service our customers. So there's work and service involved in every area of my life. But what I'm realizing now, and it doesn't specifically point to ministry, but that's where you kind of see it the most sometimes, is that work and service doesn't always equate to access, a title, position, or an actual view that's held in the lives of other people or in the hearts of other people. It doesn't mean that your work and service is going to automatically put you in a certain place. We think that kind of stuff, and sometimes that's why we do things. That's why we work, that's why we serve, because we're expecting to get some kind of result from our working and serving. We've seen it with the aggressive response of the son who was not the prodigal, his brother, who served his father for years while the prodigal son was out wasting his wages or wasting his earning or his inheritance, so to speak. And the father was like, you've been here all this time. You've been given everything that you had asked for. Why are you complaining right now? And the son was like, I've been serving all this time. You never gave me a party. I never got a chance to celebrate with my friends. his work and his service from his standpoint, not mine now. His work and his service was designed to get a certain result. He worked and served because he wanted to have a certain result out of it. That's why what came out of his mouth was what was in his heart. And also, in a lot of ways, when it comes to work and service, there's never ever a follow-up of obedience, which in the Greek is gnosko or yada. It means to know somebody intimately. We're not serving and obeying because we want to establish a stronger relationship in a lot of cases. We want to just have the ability to do whatever we want and get a specific result that we're looking for. We're nice to people because we want them to give us a certain result or to be nice to us in return or to be on base in case we need something from you. Don't forget, I was nice to you that day on the 4th. So don't forget, now I need something on the 23rd. I need you to be there for me now. We do things with motives. And this is not pointing to anybody in particular, just a general theme that I see so often now. We want to work and serve, but not really with an obedient component involved. It's more of a prodigal son mentality. I'm doing this for a reason. I'm doing this because I want something in return. I want you to elevate me, take me to the next level, to the next position. It's so funny how the story about the prodigal son showed more about the son that was at home than the one that went away and wasted his earnings or wasted his wages or his inheritance. The one at home had more of a prodigal attitude than the one that left, which is kind of weird. But think about this. Your work and your service. Do you realize that you're being watched at all times? I don't mean by people in your life, but God is watching you. The Bible said that his eyes are on his people. So every time you do something, every time you work, every time you serve, you know you're being watched, right? Every time you say, oh, I'm doing this because God says, you know he's watching, right? Whether he said that thing or not. Whether you're asked to do something that's a task that you may think is beneath you, you know he's watching, right? He's watching how you respond. He's watching how you address the issue, how you react. If they will commune with you for 1 week, whether it be your parents, your mentors, or even friends that are not of the best friend variety, if they're with you for 1 week, a typical week in your life, would they be surprised by what they learn about you? Would they be surprised by what they see? A lot of times our actions is a result of what's inside of our hearts. We try to tell ourselves that it's separate and it's different, but it really isn't. It's actually one and the same. One is a result of the other. 1 John 2:3-4 says the person that says they know God but don't obey him is a liar and not living in the truth. Those are hard words. I know they're hard to swallow. But those that say they know God but don't obey him are liars. Is it possible to have two identical houses made of the same material, full of the same teachings, used in the same service, but still be different? See, one house owner fears God and honors him by doing what's instructed, just as if the instructions were theirs as well. They basically sold out to the idea that what they've been instructed to do is totally right, and they're totally on board with it 100%, and they're doing what's being instructed. The other house owner does what they think is best despite the wisdom that's being given. They make their own call. They decide that, you know what? I think it should be done better this way. We see that kind of stuff in ministries. We see that kind of stuff in organizations. I see it with my time with the government. I see times where I wasn't working with the government. In places of business and commerce, people are going into business for themselves, so to speak. And that's the kind of thing that makes you question the idea of somebody's work and service and what's actually inside of their heart. So what are we learning from all of this stuff? How am I encouraging you? Because I'm definitely trying to. I know these are hard verses to hear and hard topics sometimes because we may be pretty uncomfortable with taking our whole life under a microscope and reevaluating everything we've been doing for the past several weeks, months, and years. Honestly, that's exactly where I am right now in my life. I've done some things that I question now. Why did I do it? Did I do it because I wanted to be accepted? Did I say yes to this because I wanted to be a part of a group or I wanted to have some kind of approval? Did I do it to just try to please God and make him happy with me? Why did I do what I did? Why have I been doing what I've been doing for all of those months and years. I've been asked those kind of questions in marketplaces and amongst my friendship circles, and there's usually a really hard response after that. Deep sighs and some real tough answers coming back to me when I ask those kind of questions. Why? Because it's really tough. I talked about it on a previous podcast episode. It's tough to build a skyscraper and realize that the foundation isn't good, and then have to be faced with the idea of tearing it all down and starting all over again. All the costs and the human resources that have gone into it. Most folks don't want to do that. So they try to skate by and hope no tragedy happens. No disaster happens. It's really hard to look at your life and see that, you know what? Perhaps I've been doing this all wrong. And that happens in scripture all the time. And we gloss over it and think it's nothing to it. It's just a Bible story. But this happens to people all the time. They lose everything. They have to start all over again to learn one specific thing they should have had in the beginning. And it makes you wonder how much we love the stuff, the places that we're being seated, the titles and positions that we hold, how much we love them more than we do the Lord himself and his instructions and what he's telling us to do and where he wants us to be. It's just something to think about today. Think about Matthew chapter 4. Think about Matthew 17 and 21, Matthew 3 and 4. Think about 1 John 2, 3 and 4. Take some time to meditate on those. We hope they're encouraging to you. I know they are to me. I'm doing some work on me, and I hope that this will help you do some work on you, because we all need it at the end of the day. Thank you again, however you're listening to our show, They Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Thank you again for making us a part of your morning, your day, and your week with your weekly mirror check before you go change the world. Have a great day. Enjoy the music. Coach out.
Terry, why are you trying to get rid of me?
Dak, where'd you get such an idea?
Don't do that. Thanks again for listening to They Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for all of our full-length live episodes. And of course, if you're an audio listener, wherever you enjoy your podcast listening, you can find They Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Go change the world. Coach out.